you know, because the optometrist, because the hardest, the first thing that people that are losing sight lose the ability to read newsprint because it's so small. And for them to have in their offices things about Newsline would be...
Yeah. And I know that we have, our people in Baltimore are targeting a lot of those. And when did the optometrist convention happen?
Oh, it was a month ago or so.
Okay. I want to say, I think we may have had a representative there, but I don't want to say that for sure. I'll check. I know we do, we are in touch with a lot of vision clinics and optometrists around the country. So it's a good chance that we were there.
Okay. Any other questions or anything?
I guess one quick, Brian, when people want to start up with Newsline, what they need to get an application. Is that something they have to fill out print-wise, or can they call that in, or how does...
They have to fill out an actual print application because we need their signature. The best way for them to do it is contact, if they're clients of the commission, for them to contact their counselors. Their counselors can help them fill out. They can also call me directly, and I can send them out an application. So, like, I just went to the Winterfest mentoring program a week ago, and there were a couple of people who have signed up. And they did that with me directly, and I had Betty at the commission mail out applications to them. So, one way or another, but yes, they do have to fill out applications before we can get them active.
That might be good to put on the website, you know, to be able to access the Newsline application. They could just print it out on...
And that's acceptable, too. We can, you know, if they want to print out the application, that's fine. I know there's one on our NFB website that's available. But maybe we can talk to the commission about putting an application up on there as well.
Yeah.
That's something that could come
out. Thanks, Ryan.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, we come to this thing that has been here for so many times, the status of the TAPE public meeting educational materials. And I thought I brought them with me today, but it turned out to be one tape of that and something else. So, I am still doing my inept thing with those.
Just in time for the next commissioner.
That's right.
Right to the next meeting.
So, Dorothy, when I find the other ones, do you still want them, or do you want them to just... pass you by?
Pass on to the next person.
Okay.
May I suggest, Barbara, you come into the commission periodically, if you could just bring them along whenever you come next time or sometime, then you don't have to remember it at a time that you're getting ready for this meeting when there's always a lot of other things to get organized. Just bring it on in sometime, give it to Val.
Okay. I guess one of the things I would like to know is, do you think, I mean, when somebody is coming aboard new, do those of you who have absolutely completed them think that this is something we really want to pass along to?
I think it's more interesting, I mean, I'm not, than
value. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, might have to agree.
If you're interested in legal matters, they're interesting, but I think the average Joe would be bored tears with them.
They probably have more stuff to get up to speed on than this.
Yeah.
This would be stuff to do later than first.
Yeah, and it isn't, I mean, I felt like it wasn't really fair to ask that question when you haven't had a chance to even look at them, Dorothy, but I didn't want us to either to pass something like that along to a new person, you know, and have them think, why? Is this really relevant to me?
Because you could have Dorothy read them and send us a written report.
Well, that, yeah. Yeah, we could do that. Because I tend to agree with you that I would, if, I mean, if I were to come on the board and that was, you know, one of the first things I saw, I might think, boy, I don't know. So...
You know, one of the things that we packet will be a list of some resources available, like things that we would have they might want to read or look at or whatever. And that could be something in that category. Just having it as one of the resources that a new commissioner might want to look at.
Yes, but not as a required thing. Right. I like that idea. I think that's a good idea.
All right.
And that should inspire me to get him back here for that purpose. Okay, and our next item is, interestingly enough, the new commissioner's packet update. And, you know, Bob did explain a little bit earlier about, you know, trying to get to the other minutes so that we could add the motions having to do with the executive director's salary as part of those operational motions. And, you know, that wasn't able to happen, but we can do that. Has anybody here done anything yet to create the skeleton of the packet or anything like that? Has anybody been assigned to do that?
Well, my understanding was that I was sort of assigned to work on that with Val and others within the commission. And the first thing that we're doing is we believe the best place to really read about and learn about the different things the commission does is the website. And so that's part of the step that we were doing with Connie Carlo to make sure it's, you know, really all there and the information is correct. And then we've also been just basically considering what other things. Will it be readings? Will it be, I'm thinking a checklist, like to tour the center and a few things like that will be put together for any new commissioner. But we're not going to make a physical packet until we get someone appointed each time, because then we'll know what format they want. If they want electronic, if they want a print packet, we can do a print packet, but we don't want to do a print packet for somebody that doesn't want one. So, you know, or Braille, of course, is an option as well. But so the work we're doing on it now is more like thinking of what things shall be there and making sure the website's correct.
Yes, and that makes sense, because we do want to make sure that whatever we give to people is up to date also. And so it doesn't make sense for a living thing like this to be, you know, stored somewhere and then you pull it out.
Right.
And, okay, here it is.
Because it's something you only pull out every 2 years or something.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally outdated.
Yeah.
But I think that mission statement thing we did, I mean, it's kind of got the checklist right there. It's kind of the... Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you,
yes.
Mrs. Lopes?
Yes.
We are ready if you are at a place where you could give us a couple minutes.
Yes, we...
ourselves and let you know what we have.
Yes, we are.
Okay. You're right.
No.
Fine.
All right. Well, all right. Why don't you all come up to this end of the room, if you would?
Okay. So, like, up towards here?
Yes. Standing right there is the perfect place. Thank you.
Yeah, we just want 5-10-minute speeches from each of you.
Okay, fine. Here you go.
You're prepared, aren't you guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm prepared to sleep.
And that's okay, now. You don't sleep around this job.
Yes,
okay.
Standing up.
Well, we've got a little smaller group here than usual today, but they worked really hard, and they're each going to introduce themselves to you. The staff we have working today, you guys all know me. I think I'm Amy Burrish, and I work in the Lincoln District. And we also have Connie Daly, Bob Shankland, and Shane Burrish. And our peer mentor here today is Jane Forbes. And Tammy Luby is also doing her internship, and she's with us today. So, okay.
They don't give us much help, though.
That's right. That's because you guys are doing awesome on your own. They did a great job. So we'll start with you, Bree, and you introduce yourself and tell them how old you are and where you're going to school.
Right.
Okay. Like that.
Well,
okay.
I'm Brianne McCoy, and I'm 13, about to be 14 next month. And yeah, and I go to Irving Middle School.
I'm Bryce.
Bryce.
Melon.
Hey,
and Hey, what's up? And I'm 17, about to be 18. And I go to East, the school I hate. And I'm a senior, and I'm hopefully gonna graduate.
My name is Matthew Pettit. I am 12, almost 13. I go to Urban Middle School that I like. And I'm
in Jessica. I'm Jessica Wymore. I'm 17, and I'm a senior at Beatrice High School.
Okay. That's our group today, and Brianna is going to describe to you the food that we've prepared and where it is and that kind of stuff.
Do you want me to tell them who did what?
Sure.
All right, well,
you guys want?
I guess. Well, today we've got something like a lovely chef salad.
Something like?
Yeah. Basically all the salad fixings, the tomatoes, the celery. We've got some carrots and cucumbers. We chopped up some eggs.
Broccoli, cauliflower,
ham. I think we've got chicken.
Turkey.
Oh, it's turkey. Okay.
And cheese.
And cheese. And we also have... I know! We have Dorothy Lynch dressing, ranch dressing, and
Italian
dressing.
Oh yeah, you know.
Sure, alright. Sorry.
For
drinks, we have tea, and did we bring water?
Coffee.
Water. Right, okay. And we also made brownies.
Mm-hmm. And garlic bread.
And garlic bread, yeah.
And tell them
sounds wonderful.
I made everything.
Oh, right, okay. You should start on the north side and work your way down. It's something like a salad buffet here. Mm-hmm. You just go
buffet
down
to
the round table is where you'll start to pick up your plates. And
your plates and your silverware there. Mm-hmm. And you go down.
Brownies.
There's
the lettuce.
Yeah, no, the brownies aren't there. The brownies are at a different table.
The dishes that are neatly placed in cups.
Did you do that, Bryce?
No.
Oh. Well, of course it was neat, remember?
You did that, Brie?
No.
Matthew did it. Good job, Matthew.
Yeah. But anyway, you go down the buffet line and get your salad fixings. And at the very base of the table, you just kind of turn back up to where you got your silverware and your plates and get your ranch and Italian and Dorothy Lynch dressing. And on the...
Actually, Brie, we moved it to the end.
You did. That's where I was going to put it in the first place, but Connie threw it somewhere.
I'm sorry.
Make me look like a fool.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Anyway, I suppose we moved it
to the end.
And we will have readers, so we didn't.
Right.
And all the toppings.
More to the northwest side of the room, there is a round table, and that is completely full of brownies. So you grab
garlic bread.
And garlic bread. Yeah. I don't know if we put that there.
We've been smelling it all morning, and it's torture. So
I made the brownies, so I got to taste
it. So we should let the commissioners go first?
Right.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Thank you. Sounds
good. You are there.
With any luck, maybe we'll finish around then.
Walk out with you.
Don't guarantee anything. Okay. Val and Hubert, are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. We'll come back in session again. And Pearl wanted to say one more thing about the new commissioner's packet before we move along to the next item.
Thank you. This is not specific to the packet, but it deals with commissioners' terms and applying to be a commissioner. And if anyone is interested, either now or keep it in mind for years in the future, to become a commissioner, you do apply through the governor's office, and you must send an application, which is print, as well as a letter to the governor's office expressing your interest to be a commissioner. But I do have two application forms with us today. If anyone is interested in taking those, you can also download them from the governor's website. But I just wanted to put the plug in for the future. You know, folks, keep this in mind, and keeping a really a board that is made up of folks who really care about services to keep us on track is what we need. And so just want to encourage you to think about that. And if anybody wants one today, I'll be happy to share it with you. Thank you, Barbara. That was it.
Okay, thank you. The next item is the status of Braille on vending machines. We've had ongoing conversations about this. We have, I attended a vendors committee meeting a while back where that was talked about, and we've continued to work from various angles on it. And Pearl did send letters to the different vending, you know, groups that have to do with vending, and we did receive the report from Dave Hunt, who was going to come and represent the Committee of Blind Vendors today, but he's had some kind of really bad sinus infection and so forth, and so that's why he sent the report in the mail. It raises a lot of good things for us to think about. You know, when I had gone shortly after the board was created and went with him to the area where he was working at the time, in the state office building. He has since moved to the cafeteria, but at that time he was working with a lot of the different kinds of machines, and we talked about some of the ones that are Braillable, some of the ones that aren't, and some of the ways that we could make things work out for Braille to be available. And you know, I think it is something that is good to keep talking about and keep trying to work with the different entities who have to do with it. You know, and I have talked with Kevin Worley, who is the president of the Merchants Division of the National Federation of the Blind. He has talked about having people possibly come to the next BLAST conference and talk about things having to do with it. The vendors nationwide have begun to talk in various ways about what can be done for accessibility, because that's the real big issue. You know, Braille is certainly one good way of having things be accessible. There has been progress made recently with the speech on vending machines and various ways of having that maybe be a way of having things identified, because that's the bottom line of trying to be able to self-identify things. And so I don't know if any of you have comments, if we want to do something different from what we've done so far with respect to this issue. I don't.
Somebody gave me an idea, and I thought about it some more and you know, came up with some other ideas of my own. Basically, they said, you know, this excuse about, well, you know, our inventory changes all the time, so we can't label anything. They said, well, how about do a board where you basically, you know, can have the items slide in or slide out? And I thought, you know, that sounded like a good idea. And then I got to thinking, as I got out, we were getting some Christmas stuff out. We have a Christmas calendar, and then each day there's a different thing you Velcro on. And then I got to thinking, and it actually just came into my head as I was, Dave, I got to think he wasn't going to be here today. But what if you did it even simpler than that? I mean, you know, have the board that slides in. Just have the, you know, the Braille on a Velcro and then a cloth, and then you switch your inventory around. You just switch the pieces around, and goes right on the side of the machine, just like, you know, he said that a Braille menu attached to the machine, that'd be no problem. But, you know, then he raised all these, you know, unworkable ideas about having everybody have their own Braille printer and stuff. But if you had each item be attached to Velcro, and then if you want to switch your inventory around, you just switch your board around.
Now, we have talked about a similar idea. We talked about it in terms of using the magnetic rubber, you know, because you can Braille directly onto that. We've talked about that more than once, I think. The problem that was raised about that was the thing of people just lifting stuff, you know, that if it's anything that can be either lifted or moved around, that there are people in the public who will do that.
But you know, that's retailers.
Or they will move things around just to be funny or just to be whatever they're being.
But you know, that happens to any merchandiser, retailer, you know, business person. That's just going to happen. I mean, it's, and so when it does happen, obviously your thing's going to be messed up that day. But you know, and again, it's, you know, we all understand. I just really am frustrated by the thought that, you know, this putting Braille on vending machines is some wild and crazy idea that, yeah, that if we can't have blind people, supposed blind people, the only reason Randolph Shepherd is there is for blind people or visually impaired people to have businesses. If we can't make them make their business accessible to blind people, then how should we, or why should we expect anybody to make anything accessible to us? I just think they need to think outside the box, and you know, granted, impossible is impossible, but you know, and I'm gonna, you know, if Dave had been here today, I would have mentioned this thought, and I'll send it to him. But you know, in his reports, you know, I guess I get frustrated with a lot of the tone of it. You know, I mean, ultimately, not that many people use Braille, so you know, it's a chicken or the egg. I mean, if you try to get an older person to learn Braille, if there's nothing out there in Braille, then why should they bother? If vending machines have Braille on them, it gives them a reason to learn Braille. So anyway, I just think that, you know, we need to continue to push them to you know, to try and make this happen. And what's impossible is impossible. But I don't believe that it's as impossible as you know, as one might think without, you know, giving it some creative thought.
There's these machines that are Braille and are marked around the country that it can be done. In fact, a year and a half ago, this fellow came and he said, "Well, it can be Braille, and I'll show you how to do it," or something. I don't know what ever happened to that, but I'm convinced it can be done if you just have to find a way to do it.
So I think we should just continue.
And the solution is not buying printers for every.
Yeah.
If you can't Braille writer, you know, if people can't read it, I guess Braille printers would be a waste of money. I think it'd be a waste of money for the commission to buy them anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I should have said at the beginning of this item, I'm sorry I didn't, but we could get Dave on the phone. He did say that he'd be glad to speak with you if you want to get him on the phone.
There's a gal down in Texas before our conventions, national convention. She goes to the hotel, so forth. She brailed everything in sight. She just bound and determined that everything is going to be brailed, and she really does a good job doing it. So it can be done.
Madam Chairman?
I'm sorry, this isn't really a time for public comment. I did goof that earlier this morning, but eventually we will. We will have public comment time. you know, I know we have talked before too about, you know, the marketing angle of it, where things are changed, and that, you know, some people will keep things in the same order. I mean, I have talked with people about how big a difference that really makes to switch things around and that kind of thing. And I've heard both ends of that too. And not being a retailer myself, I don't really know. But I've had people tell me that the way that they solve that situation of the inventory is that they do keep inventory the same, and they set their cart where they are going to have their stuff moved to the machines, set up in the same order in the same way that their machines are set up. And that way they know when their inventory is low, and they order accordingly and that kind of thing. And that stuff is brailled and the machines are brailled, and that can really help. And they didn't think they were losing that much, you know, if any. money by doing things that way. Now, I don't know. I don't want to get into a marketing discussion particularly, but that is one thing that keeps coming up is the switching around of inventory. And I don't know. I don't know if anybody here has experimented at all with keeping everything in the same place. And then if something new comes along, you know, moving that around. Maybe even having a place for specials or, I mean, I don't know.
Well, I don't want to micromanage their business.
I don't either.
If they want to rotate their inventory, fine, but okay, just have their board, their product board, and they rotate the product board at the same time. I mean, it's an idea that, you know, it made a lot of sense. I mean, when someone proposed it, you know, when someone said that this was an idea, and again, this was a person that doesn't do it for a living, just kind of came up with the idea, and I just don't think they're spending enough time or any time thinking about how to make things, you know, how to put Braille. They're just giving reasons why it's non-workable. And we've all heard reasons, you know, if Wes is still here in the technology, well, it's just not workable. Those are sites that just can't be made accessible. And you know, occasionally that's true, but it's most of the time it's not. We shouldn't accept that as an answer.
I think that there are people who have been spending considerable amount of time thinking about it. I know when I went around with Dave, he certainly was thinking about it. He does have Braille and puts it in places where it is, you know, the stuff for himself, where it isn't going to be taken, you know, on the inside of locked doors and things like that. I do think that there are people who really are thinking about it, and I think that some of the manufacturers may be thinking about it. I think that, I mean, I certainly agree that we need to continue to keep this on the front burner and that kind of thing, and keep coming up with ideas. You know, what you were saying, Bob, is a modification of the whole rubberized magnet idea that we've talked about before. And if we keep doing that, we're going to, at some point, come up with something that really will be usable. I don't know, the whole thing with manufacturers, getting Braille onto things from the word go is kind of similar, I think, in some ways, to getting text labels on computer software from the word go. I think that is something that is still worth working toward, but we need to work toward it with people wanting to do it. And so I think we have a fine line to work with too. I mean, on the one hand, we do want to keep this fresh. We want to keep people thinking about it, but we also want people to want to think about it. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think we may need to try to work on it. I'm going to be out of town on the 2nd of December. I'm sorry that's when the next committee meeting is going to be, because I think interacting about this report would be one thing that we could do. But I, you know, we won't be able to do it in the person of me because I'll be out of town. Pearl?
If it will be in Omaha, if Bob would be available to attend, you know, that would, I think it really would be good, or if somebody wanted to go from Omaha or from Lincoln with us, you would be welcome, either Bill from here in town or Nancy if you had a reason to come into Lincoln. Dorothy, if you wanted to go down to Omaha for that.
Monday.
I know that's hard. Yeah, okay, that's what I thought, but I didn't want
Friday?
It's a Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but certainly I do think it's a good idea.
How long do their meetings generally run? I mean, if it's
hours.
An agenda item, be it done at the end or some new business, or?
It's an agenda item. Exactly when it would occur might be harder to really, but it's just a two-hour time frame. I think it's 1 to 3 or 1:30 to 3:30, one of those.
I like the idea of the talkie machines, but, you know, I don't know if that's possible either. I know they have them like on elevators and different things, but they have...
And I'd like to talk about the national scope of...
Yes, yes.
Okay, I did speak with Melanie Brunson, who's the director of the American Council of the Blind, and she said they have, well, I was talking to her about her from the perspective of ACB as well as from the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America. And she said she thinks both organizations have worked on this. Definitely within ACB, there have been various resolutions that have come up from time to time. And she's going to check back on that exactly, you know, what has been voted on or resolved. And she thinks that working with a vending machine manufacturer, she thinks that they did something with such a group a while back, and she would certainly think they would get behind an effort like this. Also, I spoke with Terry Smith, who's the director of the Agency for the Blind in Tennessee, and Terry also is the committee chair for the Randolph Shepherd Committee of the National Association of State Agencies Serving the Blind. They were going to, this was an agenda item on their meeting for this past conference that was held a few weeks back in San Diego, but there are some major issues with just preserving Randolph Shepherd itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That they ended up spending all their time on, so I'll tell you more about that later, but they will keep it as an agenda item for the committee, and he'll keep me on his committee list for conference calls for future meetings, so that we can, because I think he and his committee agrees that if anything other than the kind of stopgap measures that are done individually, any real progress would be made on a national level with the vending machine manufacturers.
Maybe I'm saying this in jest and that, but why couldn't we put JAWS on vending machines? Have them read the screen readers, read computerized vending machines.
Yeah, voice on machines is something that is becoming, actually is available. Some of the pop machines will say, they'll welcome you. You know, they have some kind of a trigger to know somebody's standing there, and they'll tell you what pop they have and encourage you to buy one for all your friends, things like that. So, you know, voice is certainly becoming more of a technology that is available on different kinds of things these days. Mm-hmm. So it's real possible that would be an area that there might be some progress in.
Yeah, there are less expensive things out there, you know, to do that than JAWS would be. But I know that what you're saying is the idea of
right.
that. And there, you know, I know at the last BLAST conference they talked about the fact that there are some things where a vendor can, from anywhere through the computer, find out what is in the machine, what's about out, and that kind of thing, and that same technology could possibly be used for a customer to find out what's in there, where it is, and if there's any of it left or whatever. So
you go by toy stores and you just walk up in front of a toy and it starts talking to you. So if they can do it with toys, they can do it with vending machines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the precision, you know, figuring out which thing you're specifically talking to or about is maybe where the work still needs to be done.
Well, that's the other thing. Just because they make it talking doesn't mean it'll be accessible to the blind.
Right.
Yeah.
That's...
You mean deaf blind or what?
No, I mean it may not talk in a way that helps us. I mean it might...
It might just say some predetermined thing, but not something that you would trigger it to say as a response to a specific request.
You're talking about changing the things around. You know, maybe it would tell you that the M&Ms were in slot one, but, you know, the person had decided to change it over to slot three or something, and and you would assume that it still is in slot one because that's what the thing had told you, because I don't know how hard it would be to, you know, every time they change to reprogram.
Yeah, it'd have to be programmable by the operator.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one thing
technology is amazing.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Now, I don't know if, you know, does anybody think that we ought to, contact Dave right now as part of the meeting, or if we should do something in response? I don't think we should just let leave the thing hanging out there. We're the ones who have initiated these kinds of things, and so we need to be partnering in an active way.
Well, I think we should send a correspondence, you know, we could share among ourselves a message that we want to pass to the board, and I guess I'll make a concerted effort to get to the meeting in Omaha, because it's, I won't reiterate what I said before, but I just think it's something that I want to. Just like right now, do we know, along the interstate, you know, people obviously don't drive there. If I knew now that all pop machines, if every machine that could be, that everybody agreed could be Braille, I'd be willing to bet that that's not even the case. I'd like to believe that that's the case, but do we know? I mean, when Terry Harris goes out, I'd like to see him check every, you know, at least every machine that's can be Braille. That should at least be Braille, and then the harder ones.
Well, I know
ones.
That some of the ones around in the building, just in the commission headquarters building, the ones that are right by his office or something, aren't Brailled. I mean, they have had some Braille on them at some time or another, but it isn't always there. Or
now, our vendors don't operate those.
So
the
I don't
ones
know.
In our building, so
is it possible? I mean, for Toast to take the Braille class and their Dymo tape and Slate and Stylus out and do the machine, as a project.
I think it really will be probably, going to Scotts Bluff area or Carmel.
Well, I'm just talking about the machine in the commission building.
Well, see, we've done it, and Amy worked on it. What happens is that we don't operate those.
Yeah.
And either the operator or somebody else takes the labels off.
Yeah, I mean, that is a very real thing. And, Dave has talked about that before, too. I mean, that is a very real issue.
Yeah, but we are not sure who does it, but,
Well, one thing would be to talk to the operator and make sure that they just don't think it's, being defaced. And, if somebody's going to pull it off, somebody's going to pull it off. So it's put them on. It's not going to be a lifetime placement. But
Amy, did you talk?
When this issue first arose with the... It was argued that even the pop machines could not be Braille, but they found out it could be Braille without too much difficulty.
Mm-hmm. And so we now, I'll remind you, have given a Braille embosser to each vendor. They do work on it, and they say in their meetings when you guys aren't there that they do want to try to mark their machines, and they do work on putting the Braille on. So.
Yeah, it's, hopefully that's, that they're all doing as much as they can. And, mm-hmm. and it's, if I didn't use Braille, I would, it would be a hassle. But just because it's a hassle doesn't mean there's lots of things that I think are hassles that I still have to do. It should just be one of the things that, one of the hassles, if they view it as a hassle, it ought to be done. And if they put it on the machine and doggone it, somebody takes it off, well, you got to put it back on. That's just part of operating a business. People are going to steal everything that's not nailed down, and sometimes they'll even steal that.
Well, in a way, it's like graffiti in reverse or whatever, where if somebody puts something on somewhere where it doesn't belong, people do tend to, to think that that's not a good thing. And so they try to, they try to get rid of it. This is something that should be there, and people take it off on purpose. And, it's very frustrating. you know, we have in effect, I think, already started with the public comment. But I know, Brad, you had wanted to make a comment a while ago.
So far, the talk has mostly been trying to figure out how to find out what's in the machine. But I see a bigger problem than that on a lot of the newer vending machines, and that is about a week or so ago, Barbara and I was down at the Federation office in Goldsbilly, and I went over to the vending machine to get a pack of gum. They put a new one in there. That's got to be the flattest vending machine I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I not only couldn't tell how to access the stuff, I couldn't even tell where to access it. There was no buttons, no handles, no nothing. You know, there's been times when if there was somebody around, I'd ask them what was the machine, or sometimes I even take potluck. I see, though, the bigger problem is not trying to figure out what's in the machine, but just trying to get anything out of it. A lot of the vending machines, the newer vending machines, a blind person can't even operate.
Well, the touch screens, which are popping up everywhere, you can easily, though, put a Braille label on. I mean, my microwave is touchscreen, and it's you can just put a Braille, you know, label on,
so
on the buttons.
So is mine, but some of those heat-sensitive things, the problem is with some of those that operate by the heat in your fingertips, what happens is when you get your fingertips up there to even touch the Braille, things start happening. I mean, whether you want or not.
Yeah, so that would, you know, obviously be a machine that would be a problem, and there are going to be. I mean, there's never going to be 100%. I mean, we have to be realistic. I mean, life is not going to be totally made 100% accessible to us, but, you know, whenever possible, we ought to strive for it, and we ought to, you know, have somebody take down who makes such a vending machine, and we ought to write them a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, you know, that's how things happen sometimes, is because they're not obviously thinking about our problems when they design a machine. And if it's heat sensitive, I guess you got to wear your rubber surgical glove maybe to block your heat while you're figuring out what's on the machine.
Are you taking public comments right here? Was that just?
Yes, we are.
All right. Well, I had a suggestion.
And you are?
I'm Bree, the person who was speaking for the younger division earlier.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if this is what every vending machine is based on, but when you open up a vending machine, there is the label that is stuck to, like, the lever that you would push in, but the plastic that covers it is not attached to that. And in some cases, it's removable. So wouldn't it be possible to, like, take the plastic from the machine and basically Braille on it? And that also kind of solves the problem of switching the inventory around, because, you know, you can always just make them in bulk and move them around. And it's completely inaccessible to anyone just popping the label off and moving that, because it's encased into the plastic button.
You know, some of those are, that's the kind of thinking that we're looking for, to tell you the truth. We have
the younger generation.
I mean, did take when I was down there with Dave, we did look at some of those. It depends on what they're shaped like. Some of them that are flat, you could do that, and you could actually put something in there that would be meaningful. Some of them that are shaped kind of like your finger, or that have an indentation, it was hard to figure. Okay, where would you put the Braille, and how much Braille could you get on there? And if you do that, what do you do with the key? Because that was something we talked about. You could do that and then have a key that you could put somewhere where you would have it nailed down some way or another, you know, on a chain on the side of the machine or something like that, and you could do some of that. And so that we did talk about that, and that is something that is worth looking further into, I think. You know, some of them are weird shapes. They either indent or they puff out. And if they do that in a in a certain way, then it's hard to, A, you know, get something, you know, that you can braille on it, accessible to it, or B, read it once you do that.
Well, I was also thinking that, like, with those kind of strange-shaped ones, you could always use, like, a symbol for those. Like, this can here, it's a 7-Up can. There is a small little round ball between the 7 and the up. And if you wanted 7-Up, you could feel around for that, and there might be, like, a raised 7 shape in that ball, but no up, you know? And, you know, for Pepsi, it could be like their little divided yin-yang looking ball. And, you know, for Coke, it could just be their little polar bear or the bottle or something that they could be familiar with and associate to. And I can guarantee you that you could, like, find a shape or a symbol for each and every pop you can imagine. But, you know, that's only a suggestion for, like, the strange curved things.